For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on? Justin Spears here with Michael Lev. Another episode of the Wildcast podcast coming your way on Tucson.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Going to be talking all things Arizona Wildcats basketball in the NCAA tournament. Both programs getting off on the right foot, Michael Lev, the men's team.
Yeah, they did. We didn't.
Oh, you talk about brackets.
Yeah.
Kentucky, huh?
Some Wildcats had a good day
Kentucky.
Today. Some Wildcats had a good day. Some Wildcats did not have a good day.
No.
I told you you should play the clip. I told you when we both picked Kentucky, they're going to lose in the first round. And what happened? They lost in the first round. You could see it coming from a million miles away.
Yep. So who's the next victim? Is it UConn?
Who
else do you got in your final four?
I have to look and see who I have. Yeah, exactly. Who do I have? That's who's going to lose. I thought Creighton was going to lose today. It was kind of tight at halftime, and they actually pulled away. So, hey, you know, three of my four final four are still alive, but national champions are out after day one. So it's going to be a low-stress tournament the rest of the way in that regard.
Bracket busted after day one, like a lot of other people.
Third.
But looking at the – Arizona Long Beach State game, though, Lev, a lot of people were wondering, you know, did the Wildcats learn their lesson from a year ago against Princeton, losing in that 2-15 matchup? And Tommy Lloyd said, yeah, I mean, there were lessons to be learned, but you also have to understand, like, it's just hard to play in an NCAA tournament game, especially in the 2-15 matchups, because you have everything to lose if you're the 2 seed or the 1 seed. These other teams, they weren't expected to get here. The reason why they were here is because they won their conference tournament. So they go in, they play, I guess, a little more carefree. They play like they kind of have their backs up against the wall, and they just play good basketball. And Long Beach State, give them a ton of credit. You know, they're an interesting story. Dan Monson, their coach, was fired last week, and they ended up winning the Big West tournament and then got matched up with his longtime buddy, Tommy Lloyd. And Tommy even said after the game, he was like, I was just trying to kick his ass. Because that guy was big bro. I was little bro. So anytime I match it up with those guys, I want to be able to absolutely dominate them. And Arizona, I mean, they got off to a pretty good start, but then Long Beach State clawed their way back into the game, and they were hitting three-pointers, hitting mid-range jump shots. And the ball was kind of going Long Beach State's way for a little bit. And Long Beach State, they were playing like that red-hot team that caught a streak there in the Big West tournament. But then something about Arizona, they just figured out a way to flip the switch and give a big kind of tip of the cap to Kylan Boswell. We were wondering how the freshman point guard would look going into this game and how he's been struggling over the last several games. And in his first NCAA tournament game, or I should say second, because his first was last year against Princeton. But for this year, first NCAA tournament game, he comes out with 20 points. 8-for-19 shooting from the field, 4-for-9 from three-point range. Caleb Love also had a double-double himself with 18 points and 11 rebounds. Umar Ballo with another double-double, 11 points, 13 rebounds. I thought Keyshawn Johnson was fantastic with 13 points, scored the first 7 points to start the second half. And so, you know, Long Beach State, they hung around for a little bit, but then you saw Arizona become one of the best teams in college basketball.
Yeah, they were scrappy. At the beginning, for sure. And I think Arizona was a little bit of nerves. I mean, they were, I think, at one point 2 out of 13 on layups.
Start
the game. I mean, they couldn't hit a layup. It was like, what is going on here? And we've seen that before a couple of times. The loss at Washington State was kind of like that too, where they couldn't hit some shots that you consider quote unquote, you know, easy shots. But I thought their ball movement improved as they kind of got more used to the zone looks that they were getting. They had 19 assists on 30 made baskets. and only good. nine turnovers. If you look at the three guards who've been struggling so much lately, Caleb Love, Pella Larson, and Kylan Boswell, they had a combined 18 assists and two turnovers.
That's good.
What you want. That right there, that is what you want. So I thought those were a couple ways that they were able to kind of navigate their way through those zone defenses. They moved the ball well. They obviously took a ton of threes, and we'll get to that in a minute. They've made the most threes they've ever made in an NCAA tournament game. And I thought in the second half, the biggest key was that they just defended like crazy. I think the stat that the TV broadcast showed was that Long Beach State started that half 2 for 20. Wow. And I just felt like every shot was contested, whether it was around the basket, behind the three-point arc, hand in your face. Omar Ballo was a dominant force in the lane. He had all four of his block shots in the in that second half. So just a good all-around game, a good way to start the tournament. Here's my question for you, Justin. They took 35 threes in this game. That was eight more than they took in any game this season. They did hit 13 of them, which is good. But is that too many threes? Did they settle? Are they settling for three too much when they're facing a zone defense?
No, I think, well, I mean, if they're kind of sitting back a little bit and they're giving you some open looks and you feel confident.
That's how everyone's going to play them. Everyone's going to do that.
Like, okay, go ahead and shoot the ball. Do it. And Kylan Boswell had some very impressive kind of pull-up three-point shots. So, I mean, it kind of depends on what the defense is going to give them. And Long Beach State kind of sat back a little bit, and Arizona got some open looks and was able to knock them down. And then, sure enough, they were able to find Keshaw Johnson cutting inside and being able to make bounce passes to him when he's, you know, doing screens and doing pick and rolls with him. So, yeah, just because they came out and shot a bunch of three-pointers, it doesn't mean that that was the entire game. No, they were able to mix in some pick and roll and also get aggressive to the basket as well.
Yeah, I thought, you know, another good adjustment that they made is they did flash somebody. It wasn't always Keyshawn, but it was often Keyshawn into that free throw area.
Yeah,
you know, that's always a soft spot, against the zone. If you can get the ball in there, that brings people in, right? So then you can pass it back out, or you can get that high low game going, which was so deadly for them when they had Tubelis in that four spot. But I don't find myself writing about Keyshawn as much as I probably should, because he's pretty steady. You know, I find myself writing about the guys who are kind of more up and down. You know, like I end up writing about Love a lot in my five takeaways, which are up on our website right now. I write about Caleb Love a lot. I write about Kylan Boswell a lot because they're a little more volatile. But I'm glad you brought up Keyshawn, because he hit shots from the outside. He played with his typical energy that he always brings. And I think he's just kind of an underrated glue guy for this team. And he's really been a great addition from the portal via San Diego State.
Well, they got him mostly for his defense and his ability to match up with multiple positions. And
he played the five at the end of the game.
I think he's a really good small ball five. In terms of playing pro ball, I think he could really make a lot of money playing small ball five. But Keyshawn's going to have a very interesting matchup in the next round, because you got Daron Holmes from Dayton, who is like the Atlantic 10 player of the year and is averaging over 20 points per game. And, you know, he's going to treat this game personally, because he's originally from the Phoenix area, played at, I think, Millennium High School, and is from Goodyear, Arizona, up in the Valley. So 6'10", 235-pound junior, really a fantastic player for Dayton. And he was once upon a time an Arizona recruit, too. Mm. So
they look like they were dead to rights today, didn't they? Dayton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what happened? Massive rally.
Yeah.
Against Nevada from what they were down 17 in that game. So they're going to be coming in with a lot of momentum and confidence. I was not able to catch any of that game. I was in transit when that was happening. But, you know, one of the points that I tried to bring up today in my five takeaways was, you know, the best defense to play against Arizona is a zone, right? Some sort of zone. Force them to shoot from outside, kind of take away the inside game. Not a lot of teams play zone anymore. Yeah. You know, like man-to-man is the most popular and prevalent defensive system in, certainly, of course, the NBA, where zones were outlawed forever, but definitely in college basketball. So I will be very interested to see if Dayton has a zone defense, whether they're going to work on that in the, you know, the 48 hours they have between games, what they're going to try to throw at the Wildcats. Cause I think if you just play man against them straight up, you're playing into the Wildcats' hands.
Yeah.
Like they're so good at pick and roll. I mean, Tommy Lloyd, he's a master when it comes to, you know, designing an offense to attack a man scheme.
Overall, though, Lev, still plenty to get into in terms of the first round on Friday, but day one thoughts on the craziness on a crazy day that happened in college basketball, because you got Oakland beating Kentucky. Shout out to the Oregon Ducks for continuing their hot streak by beating South Carolina. I think we all saw that coming from a mile away, coming from how well they played in the Pac-12 tournament. So
yeah, you're the kind of the master of the segue and the transition, right, Justin? You're a pro's pro when it comes to.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, you're good. So let's talk about the SEC a little bit before we get into the women, who also knocked off an SEC team, the Kentucky Wildcats, the team that we both picked to go all the way. SEC team out in round one, a sixth seeded South Carolina out in round one, losing to a Pac-12 team from the conference that's no longer going to exist in a little while.
Yeah.
It's so the politics of college sports are so weird in that way. It's just unfathomable. It's very strange. I'm not in the least bit surprised that Oregon won that game. No. We saw how well they played in the Pac-12 tournament, number one. Number two, I mean, Nafali Dante has just kind of emerged as this dominant force.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's playing as well as any big man in the country right now. So you can call that an upset if you want, but I don't know, those 11 sixes, that stat came out recently that like the 11 has like a 27-25 record or something over the last however many years. With the parity that we now have in college basketball because of the transfer portal, because of NIL, I'm not surprised when any upset happens. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if, like, it was not anything close to chalk again in the Final Four. It's hard to pick that when you're, like, putting together a bracket. Part of the reason I picked Kentucky is I just hate, like, taking all the number one seeds, you know? But obviously that was misguided.
Yeah. But Kentucky, we've seen in years past where even if they don't have the greatest regular season with their young talent getting better in the months of February and March. And I thought that Kentucky was starting to hit their fifth gear like they normally do.
I read an entire like Giants mock draft / scouting report. I can't remember whether I think it was on The Athletic. Sam Bassini.
Great writer.
Yeah, really good. And two of Kentucky's players, two are possible lottery picks, right?
Yeah.
One of them is Rob Dillingham, who's I think as talented as any player in the country. And the other one is Reed Shepard. So part of my thought process was like, they have two lottery picks. Like this team has got so much talent. There's no way Coach Cal is going to lose in the first round of the tournament again.
Yeah.
And it happened again.
Yep. And you start to look at his resume and think, man, one national championship. Think about all the amazing NBA players that he has brought to Kentucky and has sent them off.
Really
to the
good NBA players too.
Yes.
Not just guys who are like the 11th man on the roster.
No, you could have a whole team of Kentucky players.
Yep.
And like be a championship contender. Like for instance, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jamal Murray.
How about SGA?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is killing it right now. So many great players coming from Kentucky. I mean, you could even put like a guy like Julius Randle, who's had a long NBA career and is playing for the New York Knicks. So I don't know, man. I look at John Calipari to look at his formula, and you know, you sit there and wonder, like, is this really the right formula? Because Jay Wright, when he was at Villanova prior to him retiring, he would bring in those 3 to 4 year players. Now, of course, college basketball has changed with transfer portal, with NIL. I know things have changed with college basketball, but I figured a program like a Kentucky that has very prominent boosters and they have a lot of funding going into their basketball program, I would have figured a program like Kentucky would be really propped up and dominant in today's college basketball world, but they continue to lose early in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Who was the rebound? They had a big man who did stay last year for an extra year because of NIL. I can't remember his name. Great rebounder. Oscar.
Tshiebwe.
Yeah, Tshiebwe.
Oscar Tshiebwe. Yeah.
So I think that was one example of someone who stuck around because of, you know, for NIL related reasons, but not the type of player who really fits that NBA big man mold, right? Yeah. So he didn't really have that kind of option or opportunity to go into the draft and become a lottery pick like some of the guys they have did or do. It's a great question. And the speculation has already begun. Like, is Kentucky going to fire John Calipari? Are they going to eat the $34 million buyout? And, you know, the way things are in college sports right now, it wouldn't shock me at all if they decided to do that. So we had those two SEC teams lose, and we had another SEC team lose in the first four of the women's tournament.
Oh, Auburn
Tigers against the Arizona Wildcats. I could not give that game as much attention as I did the men's game because I was at my son's baseball game down in Sierra Vista, Buena High School. Justin, I'm sure you've been there.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Very nice facility.
Big high
nice
school.
Day. Yeah. So I was watching on my phone, attention was divided, but it seemed like Arizona was in control for that entire game. Like, it never felt like they were legitimately threatened in that contest. And it was, in a lot of ways, kind of a very typical, you know, Adia Barnes type of defensive performance, you know? Yeah. Auburn shot 40% from the floor. They were 1 for 7 from 3.
Yep.
Arizona had 23 points off of 23 turnovers. That's it. That's the formula. Like, Adia's teams, you say what you will about her kind of her offensive system. There's a lot of critics of the way they play offense. They always play really good defense, and as a result of that, they're in a lot of games that maybe they shouldn't be in otherwise.
And a big part of defensive strategy and improving on the defensive end is not just Adia, but also her top assistant, Salva Coppa, who's also her husband. You talk to any players who have come through this program, like Sam Thomas, even Helena Pueyo right now, but a lot of great players who have come through this program have talked about Salvo and his ability to coach, especially on the defensive end. That's a very, very valuable asset to have, not only in on your bench, but also in your house too.
Like in the middle of like dinner or the middle of the night, like one of them will just wake up and be like, "Hey, I got this great idea for a defensive scheme." And then maybe they have like a whiteboard like on the nightstand, you know, and then just like, then they just start sketching it out.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I can totally imagine that happening.
Yeah, totally. But Salvo's a great defensive coach. And I think this team, if they continue to play tough defense, they will always have a chance. Won't get any easier though. They got to face Syracuse, who is the number 6 seed of the NCAA tournament out there in stores. It'll be easily home court advantage for Syracuse.
Oh yeah. 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 I know we said earlier that we both thought they would win this first game because they were well rested and that the second game would be harder, but I definitely give them a puncher's chance in the next round. I don't see them getting past UConn should they survive into the round of 32. But I want to talk quickly about Jada Williams.
Yeah, she's great.
The freshman point guard. So she's like this IG influencer, right? Like a lot of sponsorships. When, you know, you can sort of glam yourself up on Instagram, right? She is a tough basketball player. She is undersized, doesn't have like great athleticism. I swear to God, Justin, that girl gets knocked down to the knocked onto the floor half a dozen or more times every game. And she just bounces right back up and she just keeps going at it. She keeps driving at bigger people. I remember when they were playing Utah and she got switched onto Alyssa Pilley, you know, who's probably outweighs her by 100 pounds, you know, like a legit, like legit five, like a real low post center. And Jada Williams is undersized point guard. And she tried her darndest to guard her in that game. Did not give an inch, you know. I really like the spirit with which she plays. And Adia, I think, is kind of implied that she's similar to herself. You know, back in the day, like Adia was kind of an overachieving player when she was, you know, still playing the game. And I think she sees a lot of herself in Jada. I think she's a great leader for, you know, this next generation of Arizona women's basketball.
When do we start putting her in the Aaron McDonald category?
No, you can't put anyone in that category.
Is she?
Our colleague TJ Brown would tell you that same thing. Ari might be like once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, she was just named the, MVP for the Perth Lynx.
Yeah. Perth Lynx.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Arizona basketball is big down in, Australia, isn't it?
No. Well, Tucson connections, Keanu
okay,
Pinder.
Tucson connections. Okay.
Yeah. Explain. Keanu Pinder, former Arizona forward. He was most recently, or last year, was the MBL most improved player. He's actually from Perth, Australia. His dad played for Perth basketball too. So that's a pretty cool story there. Bryce Cotton, Tucson native, played at Palo Verde High School, was under recruited.
Right?
Four-time MVP.
Four-time.
This guy's like Kobe in Australia.
You've interviewed him, right?
Yeah, we've done some stories on him.
How much money they make in that league? In American dollars?
I'm pretty sure it's six figures.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's been playing there for a long time. And like even like a guy like Kyle Fogg, who has never played a second in the NBA, but Kyle Fogg is the most successful overseas player and has made a lot of money doing it.
Hmm.
So, hey, just because you don't play in the NBA doesn't mean you can't have a successful basketball playing career overseas. There's a lot of money over there. But yeah, Australia loves themselves some people from Tucson, whether it's from the old Pueblo or the University of Arizona. But I think Jada Williams, Embraya Cunningham, Montea Dew, who's going to be back next year after her knee injury situation. Also Skylar Jones too. Like we talked about this.
Yeah.
We talked about this nucleus of players, and no matter what happens moving forward, Lev, the future is very, very bright for Arizona women's basketball.
Yeah, they had four players in double figures today. Per usual, Helena Playo played 39 minutes. If she doesn't play 40 minutes in a game, it's like it's an upset. there has to be a reason for it. Amazing endurance and stamina that she's able to play with. Esmeri Martinez was 5 for 5 from the floor in this game, 2 for 2 from three. And once again, Brea Cunningham fouled out. That's been her biggest issue as a freshman. In the games that I've seen, a lot of the fouls are not what you'd call like worth it. You know, like she's fouling like 30 feet from the basket, or she's reaching in when someone is dribbling. Like, to me, if you're going to use up those fouls as a big, like hammer someone when they're going for a layup, you know, prevent a basket from being made. She hasn't really been able to overcome that issue, and I'll be interested to see in this next round, or if they should advance past Syracuse and get into, you know, a team like UConn, like, are they going to run into foul trouble?
Yeah.
Then they don't have a lot of bigs. They don't have a lot of bodies, period. And I feel like every time I'm watching one of those games, I'm constantly like monitoring the foul situation. You know, they have an eighth player now, so it's not you know, not quite on that razor's edge of not having enough bodies, but it can be an issue.
Yeah,
you know, especially if they run into a team that has some, you know, some size and depth on the inside. But anyway, though, like you said, those four freshmen, including Monte Adu, who will be back, really nice foundation for next year when they won't have the services of Esmeri Martinez and Helena Pueyo anymore.
But the show goes on for this year, and the women's basketball team, they will move on to play in the first round of the NCAA tournament as the number 11 seed. They will face number 6 seeded Syracuse on Saturday at 12:30 p.m.
Oh, you can actually you got a tip time for that one.
Yeah, 12:30 p.m. according to the schedule online. 12:30 p.m. on Saturday on ESPN2. So mark your calendars. Now, as far as the Dayton game goes in Salt Lake City, don't know the time for that.
Yeah, we're recording this about 9:30 p.m. on Thursday. We don't have a tip time as of yet for the men's game, but both of those games are on Saturday.
Yes.
So clear both your calendars, people.
Did we talk about the Delta Center Wi-Fi password on the last podcast?
Oh, man. No. No, we did not. So, okay.
Jordan pushed off. Michael left. Yeah. Chicago native.
Jordan your pushed thoughts. Off. Did he? Yeah.
He didn't.
And if he did, hey, if they didn't call it, it didn't happen, I guess is the best way to put it, right? Did MJ get the benefit of the doubt toward the end of his career? Yeah, he probably did. My biggest takeaway from that whole thing, Justin, is I can't believe that a media member tweeted that information out, because now like everyone who's in the building is going to be able to like jump on that Wi-Fi network, I'm sure.
Oh man,
I didn't follow up with any of our colleagues who are there at the Delta Center, but I'm sure they changed the password.
Man,
you know, otherwise, you know, you're clogging the lane, so to speak.
Yeah, can't have that many people on the server at once.
No, man. Guys have got people. Media people have gotten in trouble for even like, you know, just tweeting out an image of their pass. You know, which, you know, hey, if you've never covered an NCAA tournament before, or the Olympics, or a Super Bowl, like that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know, you're proud of that achievement. But sometimes, you know, for security reasons, they don't like that. And I'm sure that whoever's running the show there at the Delta Center did not appreciate that Wi-Fi password being tweeted out like that. Clever, well, though. Clever.
Going back to your credential thing, I mean, technology is so advanced now, people can kind of zoom in, take the credential, and create one for themselves. And maybe print one out, laminate it, get it all nice and make it look official. So I totally understand why people, why events or, you know, venues get on people about tweeting out their credential. But the password, the Wi-Fi password, I'm like, man, that happened in 1998. Like, get over it. Get over it. And I agree. I agree with Bob Costas. Bob Costas said it best in The Last Dance. Jordan, people say Jordan pushed off, but that was equivalent to a maitre d' showing somebody to their table at a restaurant. Like, that's how I view it. And then Jordan even says, like, oh, Byron Russell, his weight was already going that way anyways. So I don't think Jordan pushed off. But even if he did, just like the flu game, when people were like, oh, was he hungover? Was he actually – did he have the flu? What was going on there? It doesn't matter what illness he had. He wasn't 100%, and he still put up that kind of performance.
Look, man.
Look at it for what it is.
I grew up in Chicago. When Michael Jordan came to the Bulls, I was like 14 years old. I mean, in my sports, the prime of my sports fandom, like, I will ride or die with MJ. So, said, did he push off? I mean, maybe he did. But if they didn't call it, then it didn't happen.
Nope.
And it led to a legendary moment. You know, the follow through, right?
Yep. They didn't call it, didn't happen. Tell Arizona fans that about the 2001 national championship.
Ooh.
With Jay Williams hopping on Jason Gardner's back.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's like a million of those things, right, that have happened over the course of time. in sports. And like, if it goes your way, you're sort of like, yeah, man, cool, awesome, no call. And if it doesn't, you're bitter.
Yeah.
Forever. And clearly the Utah Jazz fans are still bitter to this day. Oh, well.
Well, Arizona's got one last game at the Delta Center.
Yep.
And if they win, they move on to Los Angeles, where they'll play potentially Baylor in the Sweet 16. But, of course, one game at a time, or as Tommy Lloyd says, paycheck to paycheck, long neck to long neck. Just got to stay in the moment, stay zen. And Arizona, they got a tough battle ahead when they play against Dayton. Again, by the time or at the time that we are recording this podcast, TBD on the tip-off time, but I'm sure whenever you listen to this at some point Friday, the tip-off time will be announced. So check out all the coverage on Tucson.com. Bruce Pasco, our colleague, is doing an awesome job out there in Salt Lake City per usual. This is his time of year where he grinds and puts out a bunch of content. So please follow Bruce on Tucson.com, the Wildcaster app. Also, PJ Brown covering the women's basketball team. Check out her coverage as well. And also my guy, Michael Lev, doing his takeaways, among other things, regarding the
NCAA. And I'll add one more thing. Justin Spears, my co-host here, he's got spring preview materials coming your way. Spring football starts on Tuesday of next week. And we're going to talk about it before, during, and after, my friend.
Yep. Lots of things to cover with the opening chapter of the Brent Brennan era at Arizona. All right, we got to get out of here. That's Michael Lev. I'm Justin Spears. Thank you guys for watching. Check out all of our coverage of the Arizona Wildcats on Tucson.com, the Wildcaster app. And please subscribe, rate, and comment the Wildcast podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.